Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You are listening to the weekly panel discussion, and this week we are discussing healthy, nutritious eating, alhamdulillah. And we are speaking to Sister Faiza Laher, who is spokesperson for the Association for Dietetics in South Africa, and she's also a registered dietitian. Our second guest joining us this morning is Maulana Ahmed Aku, who studied Madrasa Tartil Quran in Pietermaritzburg. Maulana Ahmed, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Okay, I think he's going to join us shortly. I will continue the program with Sister Faiza Laher. Sister Faiza, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi, and welcome back to the program.
Assalamu alaikum.
So, Faiza, just before the break, you were speaking about the toddler's diet, and you took us through the food pyramid for a toddler. Let's look at now the ages of 12 to 18. What's the ideal food pyramid for that age group?
Okay, so it would be very similar to the toddler group, except that the portion sizes would be a little bit bigger. So you want to include foods that are exciting but also interesting for this group of teenagers, because they can be very fussy and they also influence a lot by what their peers are eating. They don't want to be known as the health freak, or they don't want to be named or put into a group or box of people who does a certain thing in a certain way. But also, because their hormones and their bodies are changing at such a rapid rate, good nutrition is really, really important.
Mm-hmm.
It's also important for parents to make allowances where they can, including some unhealthy food sometimes, but not making it a daily, weekly basis, because again, those foods are they energy dense, but they're not nutrient dense. And also, we find that a lot of the teenagers, they do put on weight very quickly during this little period of time, especially, girls can become very self-conscious, developing a little bit of fat around the waist or as their bodies change. So, for them also, eating healthy and making sure that they're getting in all the proper nutrients is so important.
Okay, I get an indication that we do have Maulana Ahmed Aku on the program. Maulana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Maulana.
Well, I hope you are keeping well this morning, inshallah.
Alhamdulillah, all well.
Alhamdulillah. Well, let's start off with some introductory remarks from your side. You are the first guest from the Islamic perspective. Sheikh Sajid Umar was unable to join us in the previous hour. So maybe some introductory remarks from an Islamic perspective on dietitian.
نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد, all praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, peace and salutations be upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Firstly, Mulana, mashallah, I'd like to commend you on the efforts. It's a brilliant topic and something very pertinent, because we eat in an average of about 3 meals a day from the time we probably came into this world. In fact, when we infants, then we eat in smaller meals at more frequent times, so none of us can ever sit back and have an actual count of how many meals we've partook so far in our life. How much of it have we really appreciated, and what is the spiritual dimension with regards to the food that we consume? So this is a wonderful reminder and a good opportunity for each one of us to appreciate this great ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and also at the same time to realize that every ni'mah and bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a ni'mah, provided it is taken in the appropriate quantity, because sometimes too much of a good thing can end up the opposite way at times as well. So this is a wonderful initiative. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward all those involved.
Well, jazakumullah for those introductory remarks. Let's move on and ask you more about the spiritual dimension to food.
The spiritual dimension in food, Maulana, there's a great spiritual dimension. That's why in my opening remarks I also praised the fact that this program was organized, because we eat in, but what about the spirituality with regards to our food? When we look at it, even before we start eating, we recite in a dua, Bismillahi wa ala barakatillah, or Bismillahi rahmani rahim. We take in Allah's name right at the beginning of that meal. When we complete our meal, we take in Allah's name again. We recite in the dua, Alhamdulillah alladhi atamana wa saqana wa ja'alana min al Muslimin, or with a person is saying Alhamdulillah, Allahumma laka alhamdu wa laka shukr. So at the beginning you're praising Allah, at the end you're praising Allah, in between the meal sometimes you're praising Allah. So this gives us a clear indication of the level of spirituality with regards to our food. But over and above that, we eat in food and we are physically nourishing our bodies, and also at the same time as Muslims, when we consume food, there's spiritual nourishment that we're looking for. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا كلوا من طيبات ما رزقناكم واشكروا لله إن كنتم إياه تعبدون. Oh, you who believe, eat from that which is pure, واشكروا لله, and be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because that should be the outcome of the food that you consume, that it draws you closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the injunction here in this verse is eat from that which is pure, that which is wholesome. So our ulama explained that from our earnings, etc., we got to ensure that our earnings are in order, and then the food that we purchase has to be the purest and the best available, and we consume that, and that enables us to be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In another verse in the Quran, Allah addresses the messengers and Allah says, Ya ayyuha ar-rusulu kulu min at-tayyibati wa'malu salihah. O messengers, eat from that which is pure, wa'amalu saliha, and carry out those actions that are good and righteous. So again, that gives us the message that one is we eat in food, but it's not only to give us physical strength and to enhance our body, but rather it is to enhance us spiritually. That food has to draw you closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It has to enable you to do those acts that please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now sometimes there can be various factors. We eat in so much, and we eat in much more than we probably ate in the past, and we eat in more frequently than we ever used to. But then, are we drawing closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So where can we pinpoint the fault? Where are we going wrong? How much of a spiritual dimension is there in every meal that we partake of? Do we realize that this food has to draw us closer to Allah? There's a world of difference between a believer in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala eating a meal and a person who does not believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Both will consume the same amount of food, but the outcome is worlds apart, because one is going to take him closer to his creator and enable him to do those acts that pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the other just eats and goes on eating and carries on eating and takes it as a natural process of life that you got to eat to live. But as Muslims, we got to eat to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That food has to nourish us physically, but more importantly, that food has to nourish us spiritually. You know the famous dua of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when you eat food at somebody else's house, what is the dua that we make? We say, أَكَلَ طَعَامَكُمُ الْأَبْرَارِ. May the pious partake of your food. May they eat your food. Why is that? Because those closest to Allah, every bit of food that they consume draws them closer to Allah. And whatever good deeds they do, you will get the reward of it. But I look at it a bit differently, and my humble advice to the listeners will be that eat the food of the pious and see the difference in your life. One is the food that we cook and we consume. Eat the food of the pious and see what a different spiritual dimension you'll find within yourself when you consume the food of the pious. In fact, I take it as a great honor and privilege if by chance I am invited or I'm called to the house of a scholar or an alim, because those are the pious. Partake of the food of the pious and see the difference in the taste of that food. Ingredients are the same, and it's not due to probably extra oil or extra masala, etc., but there's definitely a great difference in that food. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the understanding, and also to highlight to our listeners the importance of the spiritual dimension in every meal that we partake. Is if a person does not take Allah's name prior to eating his food, then according to the hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we understand that at two occasions, and when a person is entering his home and when meals are presented, we have an uninvited guest always by our side. So when a person is entering his home, he has shaitan and his whole troop ready by him. Obviously, they're not visible to us, but they're ready to enter your home. When you enter your home with salam, then shaitan announces to him, to his followers and his troops, that listen, there's no accommodation for us in this home, let's go find another place to rest. But if a person does not enters his home without salam, then shaitan announces to his whole troops, boys, I think we got a place to sleep tonight, let's enjoy ourselves. But at the time of food, if we don't remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then again we have an uninvited guest, and that is shaitan partaking of the very same meal that we enjoy. And when we take Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's name, then shaitan again announces to his troops that this food is forbidden for us, we can't partake of it, we got to make alternate arrangements. May Allah grant us all the understanding.
Interesting indeed. It is the weekly panel discussion on Radio Islam International. We are speaking to Sister Faiza Laher, and we are speaking to Mulana Ahmed Akku, and we are discussing both the Islamic perspective as well as the other perspective. Sister Faiza, we spoke about the toddler's diet. We spoke about the age group between 12 and 18. Let's look at the adult's diet. What's a typical diet for an adult?
So a typical diet for an adult, and this I like to move a little bit away from the food pyramid and look at the plate itself.
Mm-hmm.
So if you looked at your plate, which is a circle, and you cut that plate in half, you've got a top half and you've got a bottom half.
Mm-hmm.
The bottom half needs to be predominantly fruits and vegetables. The top half, cut it again, you've got two quarters,
okay.
The one quarter for protein and the one quarter for starch. So you need to be filling your tummy with a lot, with more, you know, vegetable-based or fruit-based foods as opposed to just starch and meat.
Hmm.
So, you know, this is one way in which we help our clients to eat healthier and to also have a diet that's much more, it's more vegetable and vegetable based as opposed to being a lot of meat and a lot of starch. So it is really interesting. Malana talked about, you know, reading, you know, your praying before eating. And one way in which we help clients to lose weight and to be mindful of what you're eating is there's been a little movement called mindful eating recently in the nutrition world. And it's called mindfulness is basically paying attention non-judgmentally in the present moment. So as Muslims would do, you know, stop everything, sit at the table, read your dua, you know, don't be busy with the cell phone, the computer, or in front of the TV. Just be present at that meal. And this shows that when you're present and when you are concentrating on your meal, your body actually registers that you are eating.
Hmm.
If you think about a person who eats at their desk or eats at the computer, and they're eating their lunch and they eat at the computer, and before they know it, they've finished off their meal, but they don't feel full. And this is because the mind was focused on the computer or the work that they had, as opposed to focusing on the meal. And this is, I think, also where Islam is so beautiful, because it shows us that you need to appreciate your food and be present at that moment when you are eating. Because then you also, if you're eating and doing something at the same time, you're more likely to eat much more than what you would usually would, because the messages from the tummy to the stomach were not being communicated properly.
Like the couch potatoes.
Yes, something like that.
So the fact that you spoke about the breakup of the adult's diet, fruit
uh-huh.
and veg, and then you said the protein. What are we looking at in terms of proteins?
So we're looking at lean protein, and this could be vegetable-based, or it could be animal-based. So it could be a piece of chicken, it could be a piece of fish. You know, try to do chicken and fish most days of the week, as opposed to too many meals with red meat, because red meat is high in cholesterol and high in triglycerides. So it could be, for example, a little bit of rice. Basmati rice or long grain rice or brown rice with maybe some chicken in a stir fry. It could be a piece of lemon and garlic fish with some steamed vegetables and boiled potato on the side.
Mm.
Or it could be maybe, for example, a little bit of chicken curry, for example. So it could be chicken curry, maybe a little bit of chopped up salad vegetables and your curry itself. Or you could even just throw your vegetables into the curry. There's absolutely nothing wrong with doing that. And that makes sure also that, you know, for the moms who work, it's a one-pot meal. So everything together, it makes the, you know, the cleaning up easier. And then you've got your vegetables together in the sauce and it tastes great. And it's a whole balanced meal on its own.
Mm-hmm. And tell us more about starch.
So with starches, so starches always get a bad rap. I don't know if anybody's heard about the no starch diet or the high protein diet recently. So starches are a very important part of our food pyramid or our meals, because starches give us a feeling of feeling full. And leaving out starches will mean that maybe, you know, in an hour's time you're looking for something sweet or savory to snack on. So starches are very important. But also your undefined starches have a lot of vitamins, a lot of minerals, because they have not been processed. So for example, brown rice, whole wheat pastas, maybe a whole wheat wrap if you want on a Friday night, or whole wheat bread. It could be you know, a roti that's been made with whole wheat flour as opposed to white flour, and that would be something that a lot of us, you know, are looking to do. And you know, so those starches are very, very important. But it shouldn't be a whole half of the plate, or it shouldn't be, you know, too much, because then your starches again will cause a person to put on weight, because although it's a good food or something, a better choice, it could help an individual to put on too much weight, especially for those individuals who eat their meals very late in the evening.
Ahmed, coming back to you, earlier on you mentioned the verse Kulu min tayyibati, and in there you spoke about wholesome and pure food. What's the consequences of then eating haram food? What's the consequences, Imran, from a spiritual angle?
That would be very detrimental consequences, Maulana. As I mentioned, we're eating and we're consuming so much, but sometimes we wonder, instead of our food taking us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's like pulling us further away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And here again, the famous hadith of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where he mentioned the incident of a person who was calling out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a difficult condition in the wilderness and turning and begging from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the blessed Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that this person is calling out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَمَطْعَمُهُ حَرَامٌ وَمَشْرَبُهُ حَرَامٌ, but the person has consumed that which is not permissible, and he has drunk that which is not permissible. So how is it that Allah is going to respond to his dua and his supplication? So from there also we learn that it's very, very important, and we should be extremely cautious with regards to every single thing that we consume, especially in the times that we're living in, with the different methods of food being processed, etc. And then we have so much of new things coming on the market, whether it be confectionery, whether it be in the meat sector, wherever it is. You know, we live in a whole different world at the moment. So as a Muslim, it's a demand and it's a responsibility on each and every one of us to ensure that every single thing that we consume is of that which is pure and that which is halal. Also what we feed our children as well, we need to be very and extremely cautious, especially in the times that we're living in. And then people are socializing quite a lot, we're traveling abroad, etc. Wherever we are governed by the laws of Islam and by the rules that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordained for each and every one of us.
I think you've summed it up very very comprehensively, that in order for our ibadah, for our worship to be accepted, we need to make sure that our food, our intake is halal. Let's go to the lines. I believe we've got a call online. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi
wa barakatuh. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I have two questions.
Okay.
The one is dealing with halal and tayyibah, and the other is dealing with Surah Maida, verse number 3. Halal and tayyibah, obviously, both words are mentioned separately, halal and tayyib.
Uh-huh.
If Mulana could give us the different examples of halal food and tayyib food.
Okay.
And then Surah Maida. حرمت عليكم الميتة والدم ولحم الخنزير وما أهل به لغير الله والمنخنقة والموقوذة. That ayat.
Okay, جزاكم الله brother.
Now hold on, it talks about an animal that has been strangled or a violent blow or a headlong fall, a violent blow to the head. Perhaps, you know, or the abattoirs are now starting to shock the animals.
Mm.
One wonders whether the shocking is not in direct violation of this ayat, and what could the impact be besides the harm of shocking onto the animal, the impact of the shocking onto the meat when humans consume meat that has been shocked before slaughter.
Jazakumullah brother, stay on the line as we will attend to your query in a few moments inshallah.
Yeah.
Okay, so father, coming back to the second question, the brother was asking about seed bread.
Mm-hmm.
I think you want to respond to him on that one?
Yeah. So, with any individual, or especially diabetics, we recommend low GI foods or low GI food options. And low GI means when a certain food is eaten, how long does it take for that food to be digested and for the sugar from that food to be taken from the digestive system into the blood. So we talked about the white bread earlier, where you know you get hungry very quickly after eating. So the white bread is a high GI food, which means digested very quickly, sugar is released quickly into the blood, and then you know the sugar drops again. So a high sugar from a white bread would be around, say, 9, 9.5. So seed breads and low GI breads, a lot of the breads are labeled nowadays. I'm sure the listeners are aware of, you know, and have been seeing these changes in the shopping centers. And the low GI bread and seed bread means there's more fiber added, there's nuts and there's seeds and there's, you know, it's probably made with some whole wheat flour. And this would be a good and a healthy choice for diabetics.
Mm.
So depending on the weight of the slice and how big the slice is, about 30 40-gram slice would be enough for a meal. Again, you don't want to overdo on your healthy starches because, you know, this could, again, cause high blood sugars, which would cause, you know, the sugars to be changed into fat and the person would put on weight. So just be careful on the amount of these foods that you are eating.
The third query the brother asks is about rice.
Rice.
Hmm.
Okay, so again, you know, a long grain rice or brown rice or speckled brown rice is a good choice. Chastic rice is a good choice. Brown basmati rice or just regular basmati rice would be, you know, a good choice for a diabetic. So when the rice is boiled, it needs to be a long grain, so it looks long and thin as opposed to short and fat and very sort of stodgy and soft. So a soft rice would be a high GI rice, like a lot of people do bimbi rice, and this would not be a very good option for diabetics. So although the basmati rice and the brown rice, those are all low GI options, you could lower the GI of that rice again by adding things like masoor to the rice or vegetables like, for example, mushrooms or carrots or, you know, sweet corn and peas and things, which would lower the GI of that rice again, making it, you know, harder for the stomach to digest and, again, releasing those sugars slowly into the blood.
Just to add to that point, Marana, late Marana Bamdi rahmatullahi alayhi of Middleburg used to emphasize on this point of halal and tayyiba. He said, alhamdulillah, we, as a South African community and the Muslim community, we have to a certain degree accomplished the first one, that is halal, and where we have our authorizing bodies and so forth. But he said, the fact is we are not emphasizing enough on tayyiba, where we are talking about cleanliness and hygiene and those kind of things when we are talking about food preparation. And he says, I personally don't like to eat at the foreigners' restaurant, and because when I'm exposed to the situation of the kitchen, I don't like it. He says you must emphasize that the kitchen must be in the open, like how in the Western countries or how the Western outlets are, where you can, where you have full access, or you know exactly what's happening behind the counter. And he says, I don't want to relate to you my incidents of what the experiences I had, but he used to emphasize a lot on the aspect of tayyiba, just on the second word, cleanliness, pure, wholesome, the environment which is in which it is prepared. So just to add to that point, Malana, let's move on and ask Malana, what kind of intention should we make when we have in our meals, Malana?
Intention with regards to our meals is very important. That is why we recite the dua in the very beginning of our meal, that in the name of Allah and upon the barakah and the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the first basic intention every one of us should have when we consume in meals is, we are eating this food. This is the ni'mah and the bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the reason why I'm consuming this food is going to give me nourishment and is going to physically nourish my body so that I can carry out those acts of worship that are pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I can go about leading my life in this world in a manner that is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because if a person is not nutrition, it does not eat properly, and we don't have sufficient food in our body, then obviously that weakens us spiritually as well as it weakens us physically. We cannot carry out those acts of worship that we need to carry out. So we need strength in our body. Food is the fuel for that strength, and what we're going to do with that strength is very important. We are doing to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it's a command of Allah. It's a natural process that we eat in so that our bodies are nourished and we can do those acts that please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the number one intention that we always should have, but at the same time we cannot be overeating and then we'll have different consequences with regards to that.
Sister Faiza, coming back to you and looking at our food pyramid, right on top we have our fats, our sweets and our oils. Tell us more about that.
Okay, so we want to partake in as little of that group as possible, because not only is it empty calories, but it's also high in calories, and this could cause weight gain, again leading to diabetes and hypertension. So I don't know if anybody recently saw, there was a, was going around in the media, it was like little infographics of the amount of sugar in certain foods and drinks, condiments, etc. And this was an eye-opener for a lot of people, because you wouldn't simply think that mayonnaise and tomato sauce and mustard sauce would have so much of sugar. And manufacturers are very used to adding sugar to certain foods or to their food, because it gives it, it bulks it up, it gives it a certain mouthfeel. Again, it extends the shelf life, and it also makes the food more palatable. So you know, the listeners do need to be very careful of these types of products. And it's very easy when you go shopping, if you pick up a product, read the label. Look at the ingredient list and where does sugar or salt or a type of fat feature on the ingredient list. Is it in the first three ingredients or is it in the last three ingredients? Because the ingredients are listed in a descending order. So, for example, in the brother talked about the seed bread and the whole wheat bread would be whole wheat flour, it would be rye flour, it would be seeds, it would be nuts, you know, and then going down, the bread also does have some sugar and some salt in it. Whereas if you compare it to something like, for example, a packet of chips, it would be, you know, chips, it would be potatoes, it would be hydrogenated vegetable fat, which is fat, and then it would be salt. So, you know, we do need to be aware of these type of products and try and cut them down as much as possible. So if you, you know, start eating more meals at home, if you, you know, start your meals from scratch, so you know, even if it's a quick chicken curry or if it's a quick roast chicken or, you know, something grilled, you know, you're more likely to add less salt at home and less sugar at home than you would, you know, when you're eating out.
Stefiza, we are aware that homemade juices are very yummy and tasty and palatable, etc. However, the sugar there is quite heavy also.
Yes, so a lot of people, so the manufacturers make juices, and a lot of the juices are natural juice. And this can be very misleading because although the manufacturer hasn't added table sugar or, you know, any type of form of sugar, they have added fruit sugar. And again, fruit sugar is digested in the same way as it would normal sugar or table sugar in the body. It's regarded as a sugar and it will affect your blood sugar levels and it will be converted to fat. If a person makes home juices, you know, the problem with the homemade machines and the juices is that the fiber comes out on the one side and the juice comes out on the other side. And the fiber is the thing in the fruit that's the most important. When you lose the skin on a fruit, so for example, if you're a person who you love, you just love an apple without the skin, you're losing the nutrients because the nutrients are located just underneath the skin. So by losing the fiber, you know, through juicing, you're also losing a lot of the vitamins. So you want to have a whole fruit. So, you know, fruit can be part of a healthy, balanced diet. One fruit would be equal to half a cup of fruit juice. So when you do have some juice, it would be half a cup. Fill the cup with water or sparkling water or soda water. This would give it a little bit of a fizz so it would feel almost like, you know, a fizzy drink. And it will also in that portion cut down, you know, the sugar that you would have. You wouldn't usually have, you know, 2 to 3 fruits at a time. So, for example, if you juiced an orange, you would come up with about a quarter to a half a cup of juice. And to fill the glass would be maybe 2 to 3 oranges, whereas you wouldn't usually add a serving each 3 oranges. So this, again, would be an example of how a person could, you know, put in too many calories in the body without realizing what's happening.
It is the weekly panel discussion and we are talking about healthy eating, inshallah. And really, if we watch what we eat, we can really save ourselves from real trouble in the world. And at the moment, I'm speaking to Sister Faiza Laheh and Molana Ahmed Aku. Molana, coming back to you, what advice could you personally share with people with regards to eating out at restaurants and takeout, Molana?
Molana, you know, that's a tough one. We all like our indulgences and sometimes we all enjoy a good meal out here and there. I think it comes down to moderation because we're living in a totally different era as compared to the past. Nowadays, you know, in many a home, kitchen is closed from Friday lunch. Actually, even the Friday lunch is bought out from somewhere else and it's consumed in the house. But officially or unofficially, the kitchen closes from Friday and the next meal at home is Monday morning. So we're living in a different time altogether. But I think here it boils down to moderation because while we indulge in restaurants, etc., it can never be compared to a good home-cooked meal sitting together as a family and that which is prepared within our homes. So now and then, definitely, we need to give the wife a break. The kitchen needs to be closed, take the family out, mashallah, have a good meal, etc. But I think more important, Moana, we need to remind our listeners that we are dining out and we are enjoying ourselves, especially now it's the holiday season. The kids are on holiday, so the food outlets are really, the tills are rolling there and they're busier. This is their season for them to earn, etc. So basic etiquette, I think we always need to remind ourselves, firstly, whether we're in a five-star restaurant or whether we are in a simple takeaway on the side of the road, we always need to be conscious of the simple etiquettes of eating, etc., the sunnahs. Now we're sitting in a fancy restaurant, you know, we got our forks and knives and cutlery, etc., but ideally we should be eating with our hands. Obviously, if the food that we're consuming demands that help or assistance needs to be taken from utensils, that's fine. You're eating your soup, you're using your spoon. If it's a nice succulent steak, now you need to cut it a little bit with a knife, it's fine. But keep in mind the sunnahs of eating. That's very important. And another weakness that has crept into the Ummah, Morana, and this is really sad, we're living in an era where there's over 1 billion people that are living in poverty and below the breadline. People are dying out of hunger, but the sad part is go to restaurants and see the tables once Muslims have finished eating. It's really sad. In fact, it's something to cry about, that the plates are sometimes barely touched. That food is going in the bin. So the whole family goes out, everybody orders what they want, drinks, etc., and everything is left half eaten, not consumed properly. The cold drink is left over, the food is left over, and we just wake up and we walk away. How is that showing gratitude for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's ni'mat and Allah's countless bounties upon us? Order it, but make sure that food is finished. Make sure it's consumed. And if you can't eat it, obviously, because we have our dietitian also on the panel, you're not supposed to be overeating. Make sure that food is packed away and given to somebody who will appreciate it. How many times I walk into a restaurant as well, and you see the table, it's as if that food is not even touched. And many times I even ask the staff, that tell me, what is going to happen to this food? And they say, our orders are, this food has to go in the bin. Now my heart cries out. Sometimes I say, give me permission, allow me permission. I'll do it on behalf of that brother. Inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will spare taking him to task and Allah will reward him. And I'm doing it as goodness on behalf of him. Pack this food away, let's give it to somebody that will appreciate it. People are starving and we throw in food away. Now sometimes that also gives us a message of what is happening in our homes, because the way we conduct ourselves in our home sometimes is what happens out of the home. So it's very important that we eat in out, but keep these etiquettes in mind. Don't waste food. Now we want to spoil our children. They order whatever they want on the menu, then they taste this, it's not up to their liking. They leave in this, they leave in that. Yeah, that's not a good example we set him. So if we are partaking of meals out of our home, ensure the etiquettes of the food are always upheld. Also take Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's name. Now sometimes we're in company, everybody's eating, now we're oblivious of the fact that we're supposed to read our dua before eating, then we eat in food, and then we're wondering now what's happening, and especially in the modern era that we find ourselves in. So as soon as the food comes, we're taking a picture, now we're putting it on Instagram, on Facebook, we're showing the world what we're eating, and other people are also looking at that food. Now, if everybody's eyes is on that food, for example, a person now is a diabetic, and you put in a wonderful picture of that dessert that you're about to indulge in and dive into, now that person is looking at that, so you consume it, and then you wonder why I got indigestion after. Say, why is it heartburn, or I got a running tummy? Now you're asking yourself why. Cover your food, eat it quietly, enjoy it. It's a spiritual moment between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding. But quickly, I'd just like to share with the listeners, Maulana, the importance of always taking Allah's name. Now, sometimes we're so involved in the social scene, we with friends, we with everyone, etc., so we omit or we might forget taking Allah's name. Once in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a person had come and meals were presented, everybody was eating meals. So this person just joined into the gathering and he began eating his food in the presence of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then the narrator says, حَتَّى إِذَا لَمْ يَبْقَى إِلَّا لُقْمَةً, until there was just one morsel of food left for that person to partake, he remembered that he had not taken Allah's name in the beginning. So here again, the advice of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if a person forgets to take Allah's name at the beginning of his meal, then whenever he remembers, he should read the dua, Bismillahi awwalahu wa akhirahu. Bismillahi awwalahu wa akhirahu, in the name of Allah from the very beginning of this meal till the end of it. So then he remembered that he had not taken Allah's name, so he read this dua audibly, Bismillahi awwalahu wa akhirahu, and then he proceeded to complete his meal. So the Blessed Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam smiled and laughed, and then he explained to Sahaba, he said, this man came, he joined the gathering, and he began eating, but he had not taken Allah's name. So all along, Shaitan was whacking the meal with him and having a go with him in his food. But the moment he said, Bismillahi awwalahu wa akhirahu, that caused Shaitan to vomit whatever he had consumed all along. It's as if, you know, the food was totally rejected in his system. So we should always keep these things in mind, the etiquette, and never waste the food. And it's holiday time, we enjoy our pleasures, etc., and we have our favorite restaurants. Go for it, enjoy it, it's Allah's ni'mah. But remember, moderation is always the best way.
So the Faisal, there's a wide range of cool drinks, juices, cocktails, mocktails, and what have you. What's the thumb rule? How much can a person take every day? How much can he drink every day?
So sugars, sugary drinks, cool drinks, you know, sweetened drinks all form part of that top little triangle in the food pyramid. So it should be sometimes, definitely a sometimes food. But there are tricks and ways in which you can take the food, the drinks that you love to make at home and make them low in sugar, or you can make them light. So for example, using, light drinks like Sprite Zero or light lemonade or sparkling water or soda water, which would add fizz again when I talked about the fruit juice. So, you know, that's a way in which you can make those drinks at home and cutting out the sugar at the same time. But sugary drinks are harmful because they, you know, when they are drank in very large quantities, they will cause weight gain, but they also contribute to poor dentition. So children who have a lot of sugary sweet drinks in their diets, you want to make sure that they slowly cut down on that, get used to drinking pure fresh water, and also, you know, brushing properly after drinking sweetened drinks is very important. But children are also getting exposed to sweet foods earlier and earlier in life. And getting a child used to eating this way means that you are imprinting the child, you're imprinting them, and that's the type of food that they are most likely going to be eating throughout the rest of their life. So children do need to be aware of, you know, what's the balance and when am I allowed a cool drink or some juice, because sweet drinks are just sweetness on the tongue. They don't give us anything in the body. They don't give us nutrients. They don't give us, vitamins and minerals, no antioxidants. So, it's empty calories. And, look at ways in which you can dilute your drinks or dilute or make them healthier. You don't have to tell the family initially. Don't lie to them and tell them, listen, this is only sugar. But you don't have to also, disclose it at the meal that, oh, this is made with Sprite Zero, and then everybody all of a sudden doesn't want to drink. So let everybody taste it, let them give it a try, and then they can make their decisions on their own. Also, girls and boys getting to those teenage years, and if they have a lot of sugary drinks in their diet, it will affect their behavior again. And also, girls will put on too much weight, and you know, they become self-conscious as they get a little bit older because they need to buy a bigger dress size or bigger trouser size, this is also not good for their mental well-being.
And speaking about children, what impact does the incorrect diet have upon a child's behavior?
So children are very, very sensitive to sugary and sweet drinks. And an incorrect diet does affect growth and development. And diets are so important. As eating is a behavior that is imprinted, and the wrong nutrients early in life will cause obesity or diabetes or hypertension later in life. And we know from statistics that children are being diagnosed with diseases such as diabetes and becoming obese earlier in life. So as mentioned, leave out the salty, sweet and fatty foods for some time, and allow children to be involved in the kitchen. Because they are more likely then to enjoy the food they prepare, and expose them to a wide variety of whole grains, fruits and vegetables, unsweetened milk products earlier in life. And one thing that people are also not aware of is that a lot of what the mother eats during conception and during gestation, a lot of those nutrients are also given to the baby. And the type of nutrients are also important. So if a mother has a high fat, high sugar, high salt intake, that child, that little baby in the womb is already getting used to that sort of a substrate. Whereas a mom who has a high intake of whole grains, fruits and vegetables, she eats constantly, she's got a good healthy diet, so the child will automatically lean towards those foods when the child starts to eat solids. So it's very important when we look at every aspect of our life, what are we eating and how much of it are we eating.
Interesting indeed. Mulaaku, we are witnessing social disintegration, and what roles does home-cooked meals play in binding families?
very, very big role, Maulana. We're witnessing social disintegration, but it's more because of, I think, the social media overstimulation that we're currently experiencing. So it's very important that meal time is family time. That's the age-old saying. Meal times are supposed to be family time. So everything stops, everything is put on pause. The family needs to be together at least one meal a day, or sometimes maybe there's more hectic schedules that we're experiencing. Children are studying, or the parents come in at different times, the working class, etc. But as much as possible in the week, we need to have those moments of family time. Everybody seated at the meal, at the table, phones aside, everything aside, and we sit and enjoy the meal together as a family. This is very, very important. Now, today, somebody's eating in front of the TV, somebody's eating in front of the computer, someone else is studying in another corner. You know, Sahaba once came to Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he complained that, inna na'kul wala nashba. We eat in, but we're not getting satiated. We're not getting that, you know, that real feeling of fullness when we eat in our food. We're not really getting satisfied. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to them, la'allakum tatafarraqoon. I think perhaps everybody is separated and everybody is eating in their own corners. Gather together, bring your food together and eat and see the difference. Because when we're together and partaking of the same meal, the same amount of food, or sometimes less, there's more barakah in the food. Everybody's sitting together. So it's very important that meal time is family time. Everybody needs to be together, the father, the mother, the children, etc. And also we should try and get them involved. Everybody needs to be seated down. We take Allah's name together. We have a light-hearted discussion and we enjoy our meal. That's very important that we eat together and we have this family time. Very important, especially in the times that we're living in. We hardly see one another. I always say that we're living in one home, but we're worlds apart because somebody is on Twitter, somebody else is on Instagram, somebody else is on Facebook. So we're under one roof, but everybody is worlds apart. We need to come together as one family and appreciate the ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, especially at meal times. Sit together, have a light-hearted discussion, discuss the events of the day. We'll see the benefit of this in many, many ways. All around it will enhance us as a better family unit and draw us all closer, inshallah, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah grant us the understanding.
Ameen. It brings us to the end of our panel discussion. We're going to ask both our guests to conclude by giving their final comments. Sister Faiza, we'll start off with you.
Okay, so first it's Healthy Nutrition Week coming up, and we're talking about healthy eating during the workplace. I would like to close off with giving a few healthy tips for parents who are working and they would like to get a little bit healthier. So tip one, number one would be to pack a lunchbox. Doesn't mean go out and buy an expensive cooler bag. It could be one of those cooler bags we use while shopping. Pack your lunch boxes the night before, so maybe a little bit leftover food from last night. Throw in some fruit, you know, 2 to 3 bottles of water, maybe a yogurt, and that would be your lunch box for the next day. Keep healthy snacks visible. So replace your, maybe even ask, you know, at work if they could replace the, you know, the vending machine with maybe a healthy fruit cart, or maybe keep a bowl of apples or nachos or, you know, pears on your desk so that you're reaching for something healthy as opposed to, you know, snacking on something high fat and high sugar. Set a reminder for your snacks. So set a reminder on your cell phone for your snacks. So your snacks need to be, and your meals need to be 1.5 to 2 hours between meals. So a snack would be an apple, you know, maybe a pear, maybe a little fruit salad. It could be a small yogurt. And eating constantly throughout the day will ensure that you don't physically feel hungry and then just eat anything. The longer time we have between meals and snacks, the poorer our choices get. So, you know, eat constantly throughout the day. And then take your lunch away from the desk by practicing, you know, mindful eating. And as Maulana talked about, you know, take your lunch in the garden or on the balcony, you know, pray before you eat, and then, you know, pay attention to that food as opposed to eating at the computer. And packing a lunchbox will mean that you will save money. And that money that you would maybe spend at the canteen or at the vending machine, take that money, physically take it and put it into a little jar or a money box. And at the end of the month or maybe 6 months' time, open it up and see how much money you have and treat yourself or treat the family to a family holiday or a weekend away or maybe doing, you know, a family activity together. It will also help to bring the family together. And if you come to, if you add up 25 rand a day for a sandwich or for a meal, by the end of the week, you've got about 150 rand or 125 rand, which is a lot of money.
Interesting indeed. Sister Faizah, Jazakumullah for your time. Much appreciated on Radio Islam International. We hope to speak to you in the future again, inshallah.
Jazakallah so much for having me. I hope I have helped to inspire your listeners to eat a little bit healthier.
Most definitely. Jazakumullah khairan.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Murana, coming to you with your final comments, and I'd also like you to touch on the final question also, is that will we be questioned on the day of Qiyamah with regards to our health?
Murana, our bodies are an amana from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Health is a bounty and a ni'mat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And at the same time, sickness is a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So health is a ni'mah, sickness is a test. But in between the two, every one of us and as individuals have a very important role to play. And the sad reality is at times we really tend to lead very unhealthy lifestyles. And we also have unhealthy eating habits. And this is something we definitely need to pay attention to. We eat in and sometimes we overeat in. Let's eat at meal times. Let's be very cautious about this. Our bodies are a great amana from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We only have one chance at being healthy, and especially in the unpredictable times that we're living in with the various complications, etc. We have to ensure that we ourselves, our families, our children, we have healthy eating habits. So the simple things of exercising, ensuring that we eat in good food, that which is healthy and wholesome, etc. That's something that has to be part and parcel of the life as a Muslim. Obviously, we have our moments where we indulge, etc. Now you go to a function and you know there's a whole spread in front of you. You want to go for that biryani and the soji. Enjoy. But very important, you've got to work out that which you eat. I'll never forget this, and I would like to share it with the listeners. I think I was once flying from Durban to Johannesburg, and it was an early morning flight. It was like 6:30 in the morning, and it was a bit chilly, so we got our jackets, everything on. And as we proceeding towards the airport on the shuttle service, there's a guy sitting next to me. He's got his shorts on and sleeves, a shirt, and you know, very muscular. I'm looking at him shocked. I'm like, you know, aren't you feeling a bit cold? He said, no, I just had a good run. Now, remember the time, Molana, it's 6:30 a.m. in the morning, and we're at the airport, which is a distance away from the city itself. So he says, no, I had a good run, so I'm warmed up. So I said, what do you mean you had a good run? He said, no, my habit is 4 times a week, I run 15 to 20 kilometers. So I'm like shocked. I'm like, wow, that's, you know, amazing. So I told him, like, what motivates you? He says, the reason why I lead this healthy lifestyle is because I can eat what I want. Because whatever I'm eating, I ensure that I work out. And I think that's also something that we need to implement in our lives. We need to walk. We need to exercise. The hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is very clear that al-mu'minu al-qawi, a believer who's strong and fit and healthy, is beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in fact, more beloved than the one who's weak and he cannot fend for himself. So we need to be strong physically as well. We need to take care of our health. It's a great amana from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they say that a healthy outside starts from the inside. A healthy outside starts from the inside. So definitely our bodies and our health is an amana from Allah. We need to safeguard that amana. We cannot overeat. We need to eat sparingly at specific meal times, etc. Not eating the whole day. Now we eat the lunch, then after that we're having dessert, and in between is the chocolate, then we're indulging in this, then we're binging in that. Give the body a break. You know, that digestive system is really small. We make, you know, we don't know what's happening. So, you know, on a lighter note, they say that part of the secret of success in life is eat whatever you want and let the food fight it out in the inside. But that it doesn't stop there. It also comes back on the outside. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the understanding.
Jazakumullah khairan, Murana. It was a pleasure chatting to you, and may we be inspired, inshallah.
Ameen.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
It brings us to the end of today's panel discussion. It was a fruitful and insightful and an educational one. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspire us all. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.